Check.
Yep. Here you go.
You're good.
Oh, okay.
I can also hear myself. Through your...
Hang on. I think it's still broadcasting. Save it first. So, we still might be on the air.
That was a great song. I really liked that song. Yeah,
she's good, and she's hot, too. So.
Almost live from across the USA, this is Late Night QRM. Your hosts tonight are Jash, Barry J, and Michael, the Virtual Youper. Tonight, don't post anything on Facebook you wouldn't want 500 million people to know. Hey, don't touch my junk, man. And Jash tells us how he really feels about the movie 2012. All that and more on Late Night QRM. And now, digitally gathering at the plush QRM studios in Southwest New Hampshire, here's Jash, Barry J, and Michael. Here we are. Welcome to another edition of Late Night QRM, show number 15, if you're keeping count. I'm Barry J.
I'm Jash.
And I'm Michael, the Virtual Youper, back at Zix in downtown Copper Harbor, except I'm on a real microphone this time, so I should be a little better in the background noise.
Actually, you sound better than me, and I'm here.
Yeah, there's nothing conspicuous about this, though. I'm sitting here with this Shure Dynamic mic and a Behringer six-channel mixer in my laptop. Don't mind me, folks.
Are you in the restaurant part or the bar part today?
Oh, I'm in the restaurant. They've got Sunday Night Football on. It'd still be a hard time to overpower that.
Yeah, by the way, that's the Patriots playing tonight with... who are they playing? They're playing Pittsburgh. That's the game. Yeah, so be missing part of that. But I don't hold out much hope for the Patriots based on last week's...
Okay.
Yeah, it was pretty bad last week. So, I am getting I don't know whether any... Well, you probably can't hear. Can you guys... Does everything sound okay to you? Because I'm getting some weird background noise. I'm hoping it's not going out, and it's just coming in my headphones.
I'm not hearing any kind of background noise at all.
Let me kill my mic and tell me if it goes away.
I don't... think so. No, let's see. Testing 1, 2, 3. No, it's still there. Not as quite as loud though.
All right. So. Let me try this. I'm gonna try and kill my mic to see if it goes away.
Okay, everybody's killed their mics except for me, and it definitely is still there, but I don't know what it is.
Let me try one more thing.
What a great show.
Working the bugs out live on Late Night QRM.
Well, it was okay for a while, and then all of a sudden we hit the button and went live, and all of a sudden I was getting this wicked background noise. Mm. Okay. Actually, it's kind of gone away now.
Did it go away?
It's a lot less. Matter of fact, it's like missing completely.
Really?
Yeah. So, what'd you do?
Well, that was one thing I was worried about. Using the Behringer panel the way I do for podcasting.
Yeah.
The line out goes into the panel, but it comes right back into the line into the Mac. So your audio is coming right back in.
Oh. Okay.
So I killed the path and put my headset right into the Mac. So I've killed my mixing path. I can't do my now, but is my audio still okay?
Your audio is fine.
Yeah, nothing like doing this live on the show. Sorry about that.
Well, it was funny because it wasn't there when we started. And now all of a sudden, it's almost like, okay, we're live, and all of a sudden this background noise showed up.
Oh, okay. Well, weird. It's oh, yes. This will work. Okay. As long as my audio is still good.
Yeah, audio is fine.
Yeah, just kill my special effects.
Oh. See, it sounds a little choppy on my end.
Really?
Yeah, Michael sounds a little choppy now, whatever it was.
Michael chopped a couple times, but I think that's the connection.
All right, so, I'll go with that.
You know how it is. He's perfect until we hit the live button, and then exactly. He gets choppy. It's just the way Michael is. I think he actually talks like that. He can make, mimic a choppy Skype signal.
I actually used to be pretty good at that. One of my past jobs was full duplex speakerphones, high-end speakerphones.
Yeah.
And we used to the mess around with people at headquarters. We were testing stuff. You know, that's out now. And you're like, oh, God, it's breaking up again. I'm like, oh, dog. And then you come back in with perfect audio. And like, oh, what'd you change? Is it my voice? And then,
thanks for the worry.
Without saying the name of the company, I used to say, yeah, our signal's so clear, you'd hear a brick drop. It was a takeoff on a Sprint commercial, if you remember those.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
Sound so clear, you could hear a pin drop.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Corporate didn't like my brick drop reference either, though.
Yeah. Making friends everywhere you go.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. So, how was everybody's weekend? Dead silence.
My weekend was great, actually.
Yeah.
The weather that we had here in New
England. Oh, it's beautiful.
I got together with a bunch of friends, and we all went out took the bikes out of the garage, unmothballed them for the winter, so to speak, and decided to put 210 miles on the bikes.
Nice.
Yeah, you know, all up and down the East Coast, going to Portsmouth and went to the beach, and everybody and their brother, given the nice weather, who had a motorcycle, just about, it seemed like they were out, because it was probably one of the last days this year to be able to do it.
Yeah, I think this is our Indian summer that we're seeing right now. So, I was out, it was perfect weather to rake the leaves, or blow the leaves, or as I found out from my blower, it can also be a leaf sucker. So, I was doing that. I've got a stone wall that runs the length of the front of the house, and it's one of those, farmer stone walls, mm-hmm. and it's fun to get all the leaves out of it because all the leaves fall on top of it and it doesn't, trying to rake it, of course, you're raking on top of rocks. And then I tried blowing them out a couple years and you really just kind of blew them more into the rocks even farther. So this year I decided, I remember this leaf blower I have was supposed to be a leaf sucker. It comes with a bag and, you put the attachment on. So I did that this year, and it worked out quite well. It sucks up the leaves and mulches them and puts them in the bag, and it works great on the rock wall. So that was excellent. Everything else I just mulched with the lawnmower down front. We just rake it down the hill a little bit and then mulch it up. And I spent 2 days doing that.
So is this a gas-powered one? Or?
Yeah, it's a little two-cycle leaf blower sucker.
That's cool.
Yeah, so it worked out really well, so got all that done. And so I'm tired right now because I did that for about 4 hours today. But it's all done. Done for the season. It's better to do it in the fall than it is in the spring. After the snow's been on top of it.
And you see, next thing you get to look forward to is fall today. Well, the weekend for you is what? Moving leaves and next, moving snow.
That'll be coming. And Michael, did you get any?
Yeah, we got some yesterday, although I didn't get to go out and check it in person. I guess they overdid it last week. You know, I was trying. It's hard for me to just not do anything, although I'm not supposed to be doing anything. And I was doing fine until yesterday morning. And without going into the gory details, I spent the entire day in bed because every time I got up, I regretted it. So kind of a new start today. I'm back at it. But I was looking out the window yesterday, and it was snowing all day. Really didn't stick that much. West of us, they really got nailed. Minneapolis got like a foot.
Yeah, but, I saw that. I saw it's that coming. In the news. Yeah, that's I was wondering. Yeah, we're supposed to get that about midweek, but it's going to be rain here. And most of it went up into Canada, I guess, so. But it's coming. definitely coming. Yesterday when I was out doing the leaves, I was just in a t-shirt and it was nice weather. It was probably in the probably hit the low 60s. Mm-hmm. Today I had to wear a coat. Is it overnight? It got cold.
Oh, it certainly did. It was, like I said, over the weekend or on Saturday, it was great riding while the sun was up, but we found ourselves rather late in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, and that's an hour and 35-minute ride back here to home, mm-hmm. and the sun had already gone down. So
oh, yeah. It was,
that being the case, there was probably about 10 or 12 of us on bikes, and all heading in home in our different directions. But prior to that, it was literally get out the ski. I have a ski mask, with just two eye holes in it, and I wore my open face helmet. So it was one of those scenarios where I put the ski mask on, the helmet goes on over top of that, then the glasses, and that was a bit of a chilly ride on the way home.
Yeah, I remember those days.
It took me literally. I got home and sat down with my wife, and it probably was almost 3 hours before I had the normal feeling and sensation in my legs.
Wow. Yeah, that's the one thing. The sun goes down, so does the temperature this time of year.
It's cold.
It drops quick. Yeah. Yeah, it was real dry here too, so there was nothing holding the heat in. Mm-hmm. In the atmosphere, so yeah, the sun goes down, temperature drops like 20 degrees. So it was in the 30s last night, low 30s. Actually, it might have even been down in the 20s last night.
When I finally got back to the house and put the bike away, so on and so forth, it was 48 degrees. Wow. When I pulled in, and you take 48 degrees and then you run down the highway at 65, 70 miles an hour. It was I was sitting here thinking, man, the whole time I wish we'd have left earlier. it was good to get out in lots of fresh air, and I slept like a baby. I'll tell you that, all that fresh air yesterday.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna sleep tonight. Well, I slept last night pretty good, but after I went to bed I was like, I think I finally hit bed about 4 o'clock.
Oh man.
Well, I was I had a script I had to get done for work, and we had work come in, and they turned on the money for it, and immediately the customer called up and said, okay, is it done? you just turned the money on today. Yeah, is it done?
Yeah, but you've been working on it all the time.
No, we're not allowed to work on it until they turn the money on. So
there will be no working for free.
We could also go to jail for working on something without it being turned on. And
absolutely. So it's hurry up and wait, and then the minute they hit the go button, you're already 2 days behind schedule.
Yeah, so we and we were everybody's busy at work right now, so they looked at me and said, what are you doing? How would you like to write a script? And I said, yeah, I know it says software engineer in my title, but I haven't touched software in like 3 years. But it was fun. Actually, I said, okay, I'll do it. And I almost had it done on Thursday. This was a 3-day weekend. And so it was almost done, but I made a car appointment, and I had to leave at 5 o'clock or 4:30 actually. And so I just didn't have it done. So I took it home with me and finished it off this weekend. And it's a little thing in Python, which I love Python. It is such a cool language. And I'll say language. A lot of people say, well, it's a scripting language. Yeah, it's more than that. And I just love it. It came right back to me, and through the use of Google searches, it was easy to find things I was still fuzzy on, and everything's right there.
Google's the ultimate software manual.
Yeah. I mean, seriously,
really,
especially if you're writing something in Microsoft.
Yeah.
Good luck trying to find it in their reference. But you look it up in Google, and it sends you right to the page in the reference that you need to get to.
Right, right. I used to, when I was working with Python before, I used to go to the Python page and just bring up the documents for it and leave it up there. But I don't even do that anymore. I just type in, what am I trying to do? Okay. But you know, like I had to do an MD5 thing on there. And I was like, okay, how do I do an MD5 in Python? Boom, right to the page. Yeah. So makes it so much easier. And then, well, we always have a discussion at work about that, especially with software people, because well, some of us work inside what we call inside. It's in a mm-hmm. closed area where we don't right. have access to the internet. And mm-hmm. some people work outside and where they do have access. And they always wonder why software people want to be outside where they have internet access. And it's like, hello. That's our manuals now.
I mean, exactly.
You know, but you can go to the store and buy a book on it, on whatever language you're using, but chances are it's already out of date. So that's always a... But manager types don't understand that. It's like, yeah, okay.
Okie dokie.
Yeah, so speaking of jobs... He's starting one tomorrow, don't you, Josh? You're starting
a new
one?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do, actually. Tomorrow, first day, and I'm really looking forward to it. I'm not at liberty to say where.
No.
But it's definitely, you know, it's exciting, you know, to be able right. to go to a new job. It's been a while, you know, to be able to walk in as, you know, the first day jitters and
yeah.
getting to know everyone and where's my desk and, right. You know, heck, even trying to remember where to find the men's room at when you need it. In some buildings, you're like, okay, well, I think it's somewhere down this corridor.
That's in something important, too.
Yeah, absolutely. That and where's the coffee maker? So, and that being said, I'm really looking forward to it.
Great.
So I want to, you know, get that good night's rest under my belt and lay all the clothes out for tomorrow, yada, yada, yada. And, I went and did a dry run today with my wife as far as finding out, length of time that it would take. Mm-hmm. And I did a Google. Here we go again with a Google search. I'm like, you know what? I'm kind of curious to see how many miles it is. And I'm really happy now that I found out that, I went from, I guess at one particular point in time, you know, putting in the course of a week, somewhere in the neighborhood of 150 miles a week to and from work. And now I'm down to less than 80. That's two and back. You know, when you find out, wow, it's going to take me 11 minutes to get to work. This is fantastic.
Wow. I guess you won't be listening to podcasts during the commute.
You know, not during the drive, that's for sure. And I thought about it. As I said to my wife, I said, hey, you know, Barry J doesn't work all that far away up this up the street, so to speak. Heck, we could probably get together for lunch.
Yeah, we could do that. Because I'm literally not that far away from you. It's probably about 10 minutes away.
Yeah, it's a a rough ballpark number. It's about about 2.5 miles from where I work.
Ah, yeah,
right down the street, so to speak. So I'm thinking, and there's a plethora of restaurants all up and down that particular road. So yeah. I thought,
including Five Guys,
including Five Guys, and one of the most beautiful things that I could have had revealed to me, if you will, was pointed out by my wife. Which was when we were driving up there, she said, you do know there's a Starbucks right across the street.
Oh, yeah. Oh, is that where you are? Okay, I know exactly literally, where you are. Yep. Yes, yes.
So there's a on the right-hand side of the road there, there's a Starbucks, and then I could literally zoom right down and straight across the main drag there back mm-hmm. into the industrial park, and I thought, oh, my God, there's Starbucks on the way.
Yeah, the Starbucks right next to, I believe, a Verizon shop.
Right next to a Verizon shop,
so
exactly.
When the new iPhone is made available to Verizon, you can go right there.
That's exactly what I'm going to be doing, camped out. If I have to take some time out of work just to make sure that I'm there to get one of the first ones, you bet you I'm going to be there.
Jeez. And there's a topic here Michael had put down, new phone for Josh.
Oh, what? I actually watched that too, of course. I went to research.
Oh, is there a video with it?
Oh
yeah. It's worth watching.
Is it sound good if you play it? I mean,
I think you need the visual effect to go with it.
Okay.
It
we'll put the link in the show notes.
It's the audio is pretty cool, but yeah, you got to see the videos that go along with it.
I can. Sorry, I was going to say just to see this when you do watch the video, I'm like, all right, well, let's see what we have here, Michael. So I start to watch the video, so to speak, and the gentleman's doing it. It's just to do a quick recap, he's doing an unboxing. So as if you were to receive, you know, whatever handset that you got through the mail, and he takes it out of the box, and I'm looking like, all right, and comparable in size to some of your nicer, smartphones and so on and so forth. And well, let's just say in a nutshell, he says, and it makes phone calls.
I mean, it looks like a TV remote.
You know, I've got to do some research. We got to at least get, we got to go video with this because we could be playing this right now on your stream. So we'll have to do some investigation because that would be great to watch that. So.
I have to say, and the look on my face, I mean, in the the idea of if you were going to do video, see the look on my face as I'm watching the screen. The gentleman takes it out, da da da. It looks like a TV remote. There's no screen on the front. There's just round numbers. And another button that says hello, and another one that says goodbye. And I thought, oh, that's kind of unique. And I thought, well, maybe that's a screen that's on the back of that handset. And the gentleman goes on a little bit further to show you. He flips it over, and he said, and your contacts are kept back here behind this little access door. And he opens up this little little door, flips it open on the back of the handset, and there's a little paper book that you write down Michael's cell phone number. And the funniest thing is that on the corner of this handset, this phone, you can pop it up, and it comes out with a little ballpoint. A little ballpoint pen, so you can write the phone number in the little book.
And the stylus is really a stylus.
It really is. It's a stylus. And so you can write it on there and then put the little... And I'm thinking, okay, guys, I get it already. Oh, thank you very much. Okay. He said, oh, and here's... It does have a little screen across the top, like the old pagers used to. And all it does is show a telephone number if it rings. And I'm thinking, okay, I got it, you know. Thank you very much. I'm not switching my phone anymore. Thank you, Michael.
I just couldn't resist. Sorry.
It's if you really want the most basic of basic, it makes calls and it hangs up from calls. That's the unit for whomever that, you know, that's the one they're looking for.
It's got a 3-week battery time because that's all it does. Make
phone. 3-week standby. And I thought, all right, I got the hint. I'll shut up about turning my phones on and off.
No, I just had to give you a hard time about that.
Are you sure? Go ahead.
I was going to say, I'll just keep what I got and wait till the iPhone comes out, and then I won't shut up about it.
Well, I was going to say, based on the commercials I've seen on TV lately, you sure that wasn't the Microsoft Phone 7?
I'm quite sure.
Because I don't understand Microsoft's commercials. Have you seen them yet? I mean... This is their first.
Yeah, here's our phone. Don't use it.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, here's a great phone. It's a smartphone, and it's they don't want you to use it. You know,
really?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was thinking. It's like, really, you finally put out a decent smartphone, and you're telling people not to use it. Really?
Psychology. That's exactly what it is. You tell them, don't do it. Don't push this button no matter what happens. It's the first button that everybody goes to push. And it's the same kind of thing.
But it's like, it's for you know, let's face it. People that buy smartphones, the majority of them are geeks. They live on their phone. They live in their phone. You know, it's like always with them. And they're telling you not to use it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okey-dokey.
Yeah. Well. What was that other phone they just came out with right before this one? The Kin?
The Kin,
Oh, yes.
Now, did you see the Kin's making a comeback, possibly?
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's rumors that Verizon's going to pick it up.
Okay. To quote Microsoft's commercial, really?
Really. We'll see if that's a rumor or not.
I mean, well, geez.
You know, it's funny you should say that too. For you know, when you used your lead up there with you know, for the people who are on their phones all the time and use them, you know, for data recovery and research. I hadn't really thought of. I mean, of course, I thought about it to some degree, but something had happened to me at work where a colleague had come up. Well, it's a little while ago, and it said, "You know, I've never seen anybody use a phone and be on the phone and playing with their phone as much as you. I'm like, well, I'm researching stuff and I'm trying to find out information and making phone calls. And like, my God, you always, it's like it's attached to you. And I'm like, I guess he's right. I guess I'm one of those people, aren't I?
Yes, you are. As proven by how long the super simple,
oh my God,
indestructible phone lasted.
The indestructible phone, which lasts about 3 days, and I'm like, this thing sucks. I need something that does. It's got to do something more than make phone calls.
I got to admit that I'm there too, except for, you know, I go through withdrawal every day at work when I can't take it in with me. You know, it's like, oh man, if I had my iPhone, I'd be able to check this out right here. You know, I could get this information right now. I would take notes. You know, I wouldn't have to carry around a notebook with me. I would just do everything on the iPhone.
Absolutely. I actually catch myself with doing that all the time. It's weird. You remember the day when if you were on the telephone with someone and they said, hey, you know, let me give you the telephone number to the such and such and so restaurant or to get a hold of this guy. And the day used to be when you had the phone in your hand and you started to scour whatever piece of furniture that you were near looking for a pencil or a pen and a piece of paper, you know, a piece of scrap paper, an envelope to scribble down the number on the back of it or to write the notes for the directions. And I realized about a week ago or so, I was getting some addresses from some family of a family member that I had scribbled it down on a piece of paper. And what I usually do is as soon as I get the, you know, someone's telling me something, boom, 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 you're typing it right into the phone. And when I went back to my phone to retrieve the address, I hadn't typed it in there. And I actually felt like an appendage fell off. Hmm. I realized, oh, my God, I'm so addicted to plugging all my information in. And it feels weird not to have it.
I even started using like even the Google search on there, which is excellent. I've started using the voice version of it because it really works well. You know, you hit the button and you know, you just say what you're searching for, and then it goes off and boom, it finds it for you.
I haven't tried that. They have that for the BlackBerry, don't they?
I don't know. I don't have a BlackBerry. Yeah. But it works great, and then they have the Google goggles, which is also neat because you can just take a picture of something now, and it does a search on whatever you've taken a picture of.
Oh, quick! Let me download that app so I can take a picture of something and send it to you. Looks like a finger, but I can't quite make it out.
Is this a universal sign?
Exactly. I don't hate it that day. I don't know. Jeez.
Anyway. So there was our phone part of the show, which we seem to do every week because, let's face it, it is the miracle tool.
It is.
So, and I don't know how people can live without them. So I hear things went quiet up in Copper Harbor.
Yep, it's a yearly event. It's been getting later and later each year, but Friday I was up on top of Broccoli, charging the battery still for the main microwave point. We still don't have that resolved. Yeah. But part of it's because since I'm on strict doctor's orders not to climb right now, I can't get up on the roof and pull the wind generator down myself. And I'm the one that normally services that. But so I'm up there charging the batteries and enjoying what was a beautiful day on Friday. And I saw the Coast Guard cutter heading towards the harbor. So I finished up what I was doing and zoomed down and took some pictures of the cutter picking up the bell buoy. But it gets a lot quieter. Everybody's used to hearing that buoy. It really propagates through the whole area. So once it's gone, you know, winter's here.
Wow. Now, what is the buoy actually used for?
It's the marker to the entrance of the harbor.
Okay.
So... And it gets you to the entrance, and then you line up the range lights to get you through the channel.
Okay, so you've actually got a channel for larger ships or whatever that come through.
Yeah,
so it keeps them from running aground.
Yeah, that'd be a bad thing.
Yeah, so why do they take it out in the fall? Is it because you get ice there?
Yeah, I think they're trying to avoid ice damage. They pull them all out. There's buoys by all the lighthouses anyhow, and they pull them all up.
Wow. And then, so it's best not to take large ships there in the winter time.
Well, the range lights are still there.
Okay.
But I'm not the big navigator, so I can't speak too much for that. Huh. But it's a big change in environment for us. Everybody kind of toasts the beer to winter at that point. And I don't know if you saw that the Facebook exchanges I had after that. I posted it on my page, and boy, that got a lot of response.
I saw that, and you know, people were responding to it. And you had a picture of the ship actually going. The Coast Guard ship going to pick it up, and I was like, "That's a pretty large ship right there."
Yeah, it is.
So, wow. So everything's getting quiet at Copper Harbor now.
Yep,
the winter quietness is starting to settle in. So it's probably not a good time to come up and visit, then, right?
Oh, there's never a bad time to visit, but it's all there's. We have a different, you know, a little bit different to offer depending on what time of year it is.
All right.
Wow. So. Copper Harbor into winter now. So.
Yep.
Wow. Okay, we got a bunch of political stuff here, I see. Kind of. What was the, is today's Homeland Security yesterday's McCarthy hysteria?
Yeah, I mean, that's what's reminding me of is, you know, it's really just, it's going overboard. Hmm. I understand there's problems out there, but holy cow. I mean, on that same webpage on Dvorak.org, there's a video of a German protest. I'm assuming in this last week, where a whole bunch of people got together in the airport, and before they went to the security line, they stripped down to their underwear and then got in line.
That was the protest?
Yep, the protest.
You know, it was funny because also John C. Dvorak on Twitter actually had a link to a story that I think is now up on, whatchamacallit, oh God, my brain just went, you know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah, I'll tell you in a minute.
I'm seeing stuff on Dig, I'm seeing stuff on Reddit. It's just all
over. Well, Reddit, it was on Reddit, and but it was up on it made Drudge Report. The video, actually, here we go, nude protests in Germany, and there's a video on Drudge Report. I'm looking to see if they have the other one still here, because I didn't put it in the show notes, but basically it was this guy that was trying to get on a plane in San Diego, and he actually went up on the TSA site to see whether they had the new nude scanners, which are basically, you know, a form of X-ray that they use, mm-hmm. that they say is perfectly safe.
Of course. Yeah, right.
Okay. Anyway, so his, and they claim they didn't have them at San Diego, so he thought all he had to do was go through the metal detector. And when he got there, lo and behold, they had them. But so he got in the line to go through the metal detector, and they had somebody there. 80% of the people were going through metal detectors, and they were just picking people and say, you go through here, you go through here. So guess what? He got picked. Mm-hmm. And he basically did the opt-out, which you're allowed to do.
And, right.
So he said, okay, well, then you have to have a full body search. And he said, okay, I agree to that. There's just one thing. You can't, as he put it, you can't touch my junk. And they said, well, we have to for this. He goes, no. He goes, if this was anywhere else and you did that, that would be a sexual assault. Mm-hmm. And he says, you can't touch that. And so then they called a supervisor over, and they had a discussion. Next thing you know, they had a policeman over, and trying to make this story short, basically he opted not to fly and go away. So he was escorted by the policeman out of the area. He went to see if he could get his ticket back, which I think it was American Airlines did give him back his money, even though it was a non-refundable. And so he was getting ready to leave, and all of a sudden the TSA people came back over, and he was still with the police officer at the time. And they said, no, you have to come back over here, because once you start the process, you have to finish it before you can either board the plane or leave the airport.
Well, it's your suspicion, right?
Yeah. And he was saying, look, I'm not taking the plane. I'm going home. And they said, you have to come back. And they said, says who? You know, he was being very respectful and everything. But they said, well, if you don't, then there could be a civil lawsuit and a fine of up to $10,000. And he looked at him and said, you know, he basically went, really?
Sue me.
and that's basically what he did. He goes, I would like to leave here now. Unless you have the authority to keep me here, I am leaving. And the police officer, he didn't say anything. And he said, well, if you leave, expect to be a civil lawsuit and to be fined. And he says, bring it on. And he left.
Did he leave a website where you could donate?
I don't know. I'll have to go find the story. But people are just cheering him on. And, you know, I'm for security and keeping things safe. But it's like, come on. It's getting freaking ridiculous now when you go online. I mean, last time I flew, I was spread eagle and total body search. And yes, they do touch your junk. Right. It's with the back of their hand, but they still go down and do it. And what? Why did they do that to me? Because all they had was metal detectors. I didn't refuse anything, although I will not go through one of those X-ray scanners. Because I'm sorry, you know, a TSA person can say, oh, it's perfectly safe. And I'm going to ask him, and exactly where did you get your medical degree from?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Because I'm sorry.
I've heard a lot of things. Is, you know, they get a lot of attitude from someone who's making $11.50 an hour.
Yeah. The guys that did mine were very nice, and I think they're being trained now. I know there are some places, especially busy airports, where you'll get a lot of attitude because they just the number of people they have to deal with, but. I last time got the full search and all my carry-ons got searched and everything got chemically swiped because I had an insulin pump. The guy apologized. He says, well, there's new rules now that anybody who's wearing an insulin pump now has to be searched and chemically swiped. And they made me physically touch the insulin pump and then they swiped my hands. And they opened up all my carry-on luggage, looked through everything, and then it took like an extra half hour to do this, to get through security. And it's like, why? Because I have an insulin pump? And, well, I won't say here, but I was like, at the end of the half hour, I said, if you only knew. I'll just keep it at that. you wouldn't be. But yet, there was another article today about the CARE group. That's a Muslim support group who is now supporting the fact that they should abide to, I don't know whether it's Sharia law, but basically anybody that's wearing what did they call it? It wasn't a burqa, but it was a burqa-like thing. That if women are going through, they should only be checked from the neck up.
Oh, bullshit.
I'm like,
I call
really
on that one. You know,
really?
What? If you're gonna fly in
come
the
on,
United States, then you gotta play by our rules. Come even on. If we don't like them, we have to play by them. No special amnesty or special sets of rules because, well, my religious deity that I happen to pray to today, or if it could be your whole goddamn life, I really don't give a shit. They forbid it. Well, you can tell your imaginary, invisible, all-power being that you pray to kiss my ass because you got to play by the same rules.
I just couldn't believe it because it's like, okay, this may not be what's happened all the way through the past if you look at airline hijackings and things like that, but they were kind of, most of those were airline hijackings. They were pretty much non-violent. The plane didn't get destructed. But for the past 10 years, where they're trying to blow planes up and do damage to people on board the planes, what group has been at the... And you're saying the rest of us have to go through this spread eagle. We're going to, you know, do a cavity check and everything else.
Exactly.
and you get the walk through?
Yeah. Everybody else and their brother, regardless of who their god is or deity.
Well, I'm starting a new religion. I am. I'm sorry. You can't touch me. That's part of my religion.
No, wait a minute. Podcastism.
Well, I'm sorry, I can't go through that machine, and you can't touch me. So what are you going to do? It's part of my religion.
Mm-hmm. The podcast gods won't like it, and I can't allow that to happen. Well, then feel free to rent a car and drive then. That's what I'd say.
Really? You know? Jeez. But yeah, I was just, I don't know. Just those couple of stories that have been in the news really made me go, really?
Yeah,
I think I know what the name of tonight's episode is going to be.
Really?
Oh, jeez.
By the way, is my typing coming through tonight?
Take a look. I was.
Did you hear any?
No, I didn't hear typing at all.
No, somebody was trying to Skype me, and finally, I couldn't find again with this new Skype. I can't find a way of breaking off the chat with somebody. Is saying I'm busy right now.
Oh, just
I'm afraid if I type, if I click new conversation, is that going to drop me?
I don't know.
I
haven't tried it.
So I went over to email and I sent him an email back saying, hey, because I know he's going to get the email on his iPhone 4. And I'm live on a show right now.
Well, it's not me.
Well, but I was going to say.
So, David, if you're listening, we're busy.
Yeah. You should have. Did you tweet, by the way? I forgot to tweet.
I did tweet, yes. Okay. I tweeted.
Here at Command Center.
Oh, by the way, as a sidebar note, Barry J., the Google Voice Search app is available for the BlackBerry because I just downloaded it.
Oh, good. It's about time they caught up.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Of course, there's more things that Google have than even the iPhone doesn't have because they're only on Android. Mm-hmm. Actually, Android had Google Goggles. Google Goggles. That's almost like saying Copper Harbor.
You say that quite well, actually, for an Easterner, you know.
It's Kappa Haba.
Yeah, well,
there you go.
Yeah, the only New England in me is I want to pronounce it Kappa Haba.
That's okay.
So. Actually, Google Goggles was on the Android first before they made it over to the iPhone. Yep. It's looking pretty sad.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay. Thank you. I'm all done talking about telephones.
Really?
Yeah. Well, in another subject here, I can actually start working out again tomorrow, and I'm really looking forward to this. I've been going stir crazy the last couple of weeks. I got to start out slow, which is going to be hard for me to do. But
working out. Okay, I read that wrong. I thought it said you could start working tomorrow.
I can't. I can't start working until the end of the month, which is also driving me nuts.
Yeah. So you can go to the gym tomorrow.
I go to the gym tomorrow, and I probably set everything at like 15 or 20 pounds. And start, just loosen everything up and then go back on Wednesday and start building it up again. I've got 2 weeks to get myself back up to lifting people shape here.
Right. Because you can't, the end of the month is when you can start up again, right?
Right. I'm off until the 28th.
Yeah, you should just enjoy it.
No, remember, I don't get benefits, so I'm not enjoying it too much.
That's right, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
We barely get benefits next year, but that's another story.
I am taking the time to go out there and cultivate new engineering business. So that's, at least I'm building something out of this.
Yeah, that's good. That's the only problem about being your own. I mean, it's nice to be your own boss and things, but if you're a software person, you tend to like the code. But, you got to go out and get the business and, be the marketing guy and be the sales guy and, be the guy that does the proposals and then finally you get to actually code.
Right. And a lot of times as the contractor, I get the job after they find out that nobody in-house can handle it. Mm. So it's normally they want it yesterday by the time I get it. So I could really relate to your scripting project this week, because everything I get is like, we'd like it yesterday.
Yeah.
Well, let me get up to speed on it first, and then I'll see what I can do about it.
Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm. That's the way it always is these days. So, but that's good. So you're going to be starting to work out and get into, well, you didn't really get out of shape that much.
I'll show you what out of shape looks like.
Yeah. I was going to say, me too. I got to go to the wellness center tomorrow too. Because, I only got there once last week. Yeah. Because of various things, excuses. I've been bad. I need to get back. I got to remind myself that I'm paying money every month for that. So,
well, I'm looking at it this way. Yeah, I start back to the back to the gym, pretty hitting it pretty hard myself again tomorrow. But I don't want to go overboard, because in about a week and a half's time, Thanksgiving will be here, and then I have to throw all that work away by eating too much.
And you will.
Excellent. Yes, I know I will.
Yes. Because we've continued the tradition of Josh and Debbie coming up for Thanksgiving.
Yes, indeed. And, absolutely. It's a regular, it is a tradition now.
And my wife, being of Italian descent, loves to overdo it. So, and she will. And be yelling at me at the entire time.
Well, everything is absolutely positively delicious. This is year three or year four now.
I'm trying to remember. I think it might be 4 years.
Yeah. It sounds about right.
Yeah, that's why I said it's become a tradition now.
And then we did New Year's
as well. Usually do New Year's. So,
is it really possible to overdo it for Thanksgiving, though? I don't think there is such a thing.
No.
That's the time of year you're supposed to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And then also fall under that fallacy that, oh, well, you eat too much turkey because of the tryptophan, that's why you're tired. No, I'm tired because I overate, and my body's working overtime trying to digest it.
Yeah, and the beers and the...
Yeah.
The rum and cokes and...
The rum and cokes and the sippy cups didn't have
any factor. Yeah. Yeah, no, we may have to throw a special late night QRM up that night or something.
Bloated, full, and half cocked. Yeah, that's the time to do a
we
show.
Did we did a radio QRM like that once, remember?
I remember hearing that.
Oh, God. Well, I think we were both pretty stupid by the time we actually got to doing any recording there.
Yeah.
I think you were both talking about coming up to Copper Harbor again on that show.
Well, I think we were.
We probably were. Yeah. Whenever we get drunk, we think about coming up to Copper Harbor. Mike, we gotta go see him. Let's go. Come on. All right, get in the truck. I'll drive.
Yeah, but we'll be there like 25 minutes. Come on, let's go.
Where the hell are we going? Exactly. Oh, let's look it up on Google Maps.
Then you forget what you were typing in the search window.
And then a shiny ball shows up on another web page. Oh, look at that.
That's pretty.
And that's it. The trip's over.
Exactly. Yeah, that's, and I not only, again, it's all due to, you know, better living through chemistry.
There you go.
Exactly. Four or five rum and cokes, a bottle of wine, and a half a gallon of port later, we're ready for a road trip.
Oh, yeah, the port. The port really did both of us under. And it lasted for you for several days, Josh.
Yeah, it came back to haunt me, so to speak.
Josh and port don't get along very well.
No, I love the stuff, but boy, does it hate me.
So, yeah.
And by the way, guys, it's 1,206 miles from here to Jeffrey.
Really?
I just looked it up in Google Maps.
1,000 miles. Let's see, 1,000 miles.
1,200.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, if you go through Canada, it's 1,182.
Actually, we were looking at that. It says, is it easier to go around down the bottom or just to cut up and go through Canada to get to you?
Yeah, we couldn't figure out which way.
I think it'd be easier to go through Canada, actually.
I think so, too.
I love everything in Canada. So I'd rather go that way. You'd rather, yeah. Most definitely.
I haven't been to Canada in, God, I don't know how long. Yeah,
we're take the Trans-Canada Highway and go through Sault Ste. Marie. And that, actually, I think that's how Chris and I should plan on heading east.
Yeah,
it's kind of cool.
We're going to have to look that up again.
Most definitely. And then plan another road trip. And except this time, get farther than the shiny little ball on the webpage.
Oh, actually, look!
Actually, this time we'll set gas money aside.
Yeah. Oh, we can always take the Prius.
Hmm. Speaking. I already got permission from my wife. She's like, oh, I expect you and Barry J to go for a ride up there, you know, at some point in time, and, you know, do podcasts along the way. And I'm like, actually, hey, I got permission to go.
Yeah, that would be fun. Okay, yeah. We're going to have to plan this. But I don't want to drive in the winter when it's snowing.
I agree.
Especially if we take the Prius. Speaking of the Prius, yeah, I had a $1,041 oil change.
That must have been some pretty damn good oil. It was like coming straight out of the
like
ground.
Mobile One Gold?
You know, I took it in, and I said, well, I need an oil change, but you might want to do the check over. Oh, that was a mistake, especially at a dealership. But actually, the work needed to be done. And he comes back and goes, well, you know, you need 4 new tires. And I kind of knew that because it was pulling to the right and it was squealing a little bit. And I actually kind of did an eyeball on the tires and there wasn't much left on any of the tires.
Okay.
But I didn't realize all 4 needed to be done. But then I looked at them again when they had it up on the lift and yeah, all 4 tires needed to go. So okay. Yeah, that was of course 100 and something a piece.
Right.
Because we have special tires for Priuses.
Really?
Well, they prefer that you put these, I don't know, they're thicker walls or something. Yeah, I'm not sure. But
because of the weight?
I'm that's what I'm guessing.
You know what? My truck weighs several thousand pounds too, but I have no problem going to an NTB or a Goodyear tire place. See, they got tires that fit too. But they say, well, your car's extra heavy. Really? So it's heavier than every other 2,000-pound car driving up and down the street? By how much?
I could probably go to another place, but it's just more convenient to go there. And actually, I did price the tires out once. And yeah, they're a little higher, but they're not that much higher for the same kind of tires. And I go through tires pretty quick just based on how much I drive.
Drive it, you do. Yeah.
So anyway, I got it's got 107,000 miles on it now. And so that needed to be done. Of course, all the filters and everything, which I think I opted out at the 100,000 mark. I said, yeah, don't worry about the filters yet. Well, this time it's like, okay, yeah, put the filters in. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, with the new tires, it needed its first front end alignment, which is because it was pulling to the right.
I would imagine that's pretty tricky because you got electric motors at each wheel, don't you?
No. They're standard motors. Our standard wheels. No, there's only one motor. There's one one electric motor, and it's in the drive chain train.
Oh, okay.
So, but he also said, yeah, you really need new brakes too. And I said, well, and he says, but you can probably hold off a few months on that. I said, let's hold off on that, please. And of course, that'll be my first brake change. Since I've had the car, and I've had the car for 5 years now, so he goes, yeah, unbelievable, isn't it? It's because you know, you don't use those brakes that often because you have the electric brakes, not electric brakes, but they use the electric motor to brake you first before they apply those brakes, unless of course you slam them on, then you go to those brakes immediately. But what else was there? I forget. There was something else. But anyway, of course, they have a big sign up on the wall that says, you know, standard labor price is $89 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's like, okay, so I've got $20 in parts, and it cost me $200 to get it installed.
And short of the tires, quite frankly, I don't want to sound like you know, negative Nelly here, but okay, change the air filter, change the oil filter, put a new cabin filter in. All these things you could do sitting in your garage.
I probably could, but I've got it on record now, so when I go to trade the thing in.
True. That's very true.
As a matter of fact, all the work that's been done, all the receipts and the paperwork I get are in the glove compartment from the time I got the car. So,
yeah.
And it helped out the last Prius I traded in. They were going to start talking to me about, you know, how much they were going to give me, and of course, you know how that goes.
Oh yeah,
dealers. And they said, "Now, have you kept the maintenance up on this vehicle?" I said, "Check your records, because it's only come here, and yes, I've come in every time." And they look it up and they said, "Oh, yeah, you have. Okay. Well, I can't use that as an excuse."
Exactly.
But I got top dollar for the trade in on that one. But good news about my car is. I've got one payment this month and one payment in December, and it's paid off.
Nice. That's a good feeling, isn't it?
Yeah. So, and hopefully I'll be able to drive it for a couple more years before I have to go look for another one, because it actually drives like the day I got it right now. So
that's a great car. I love riding in that car. Yeah. Someday I'll actually ask you to drive it. It always seems like every time we go anywhere, it's either snowing and it's always for Chinese food.
Well, we're going to go to Copper Harbor in it.
I think I'm going to get plenty of drive
there
time.
There you go.
So,
by the way, did you see the note I typed there?
Yeah, I was going to go into that next. I was trying to do a cool
transition there.
Transition in, but.
And I just screwed it up, sorry.
That was going to be something dumb like, "Speaking of cars, how's that truck of yours, Michael?"
Oh, yeah. Well, I talked to the mechanic on Friday, and good, honest guy. And you know, we both thought, you know, the way the clutch was acting, the hydraulic clutch went out. He did a quick couple tests and said, "Yep, no problem." Went out and had a special order, a new master cylinder for the truck, put it in. Clutch still doesn't disengage. So... mechanic and I talk, and he goes, "Well, I just bought you a master cylinder." And I said, "What?" And I said, "Well, I'll settle that up with you." He goes, "Oh, no, that's our policy. If we put something in and that wasn't the problem, we pay for it."
Wow.
That's the good news. Bad news is the problem is in the bell housing. So either the throw-out arm that pulls the clutch out from the plate has gone bad, or the clutch itself, something's gone screwy with it. There's no inspection plate. You can't open it up to look in there. They've tried. Really? They actually have a fiber optic camera they could put into stuff, and they couldn't get into this bell housing with it.
Holy cow.
It's a 600-pound transmission on this truck.
Wow. Yeah, I remember back in the day, I'm dying to hear your next words, but I remember years ago, if you had to pull a tranny, and that's a conventional one, not like the one that you got in your truck, almost 20 years ago. It was $150 just to take one out. That's not to fix it, just to take it out. $150 to $200 just to remove it.
Yeah, and he has to dedicate one of his heavy duty lifts to pull the tranny on this one.
Oh, and that's right, because it's a big diesel truck, too.
It's the diesel Cummins, yeah. So they got to pull this tranny just to pull it out. And he gave me, he's like, "You know, I just got to brace you. If it's the clutch." I think the cheapest he was able to find a clutch plate online for this truck is $1,000.
Oh, that was just for the part? That's just the part?
Just for the part. Just the part.
And the truck broken. It's not like it can...
We're hoping it's linkage.
Yeah.
Really. Jeez, what kind of truck is it again?
It's a Dodge 3/4 ton with the Cummins diesel in it.
Okay.
I mean, it's a good vehicle. I've had a couple of friends say, "You know, you've had like one major repair a year for the last couple of years," but I paid it off in 2004.
Wow.
So the Jeep's paid off. The truck is paid off. Even if I have one major payment, you know, one major repair a year, it's still a lot less than car payments.
Yeah. And it does you good for the entire year. And Yeah. A lot of times it gives you some warning before something goes out anyway.
Normally, yeah. This was just a weird one.
Hmm. Wow. So you got that look going for you.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
That'll dip into the old Christmas Club account real quick.
Yeah, this is not the month I wanted that to happen. That's for sure.
Yeah.
But fortunately, this guy worked things out with me. But yeah.
That's nice.
But yeah, getting back to, I told you I got Skyped by my friend David. And I told him back, I was on the show, and he goes, well, how do I join in? And I'm like, well, actually, it's a little late tonight, but I this guy would actually be a hoot to have on the show.
Really?
So I told him where to find us on Ustream. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. He owns a rather large software company. He's an Apple fanboy all the way. He'd fit right in.
Fantastic. Great. I don't.
And he's got good stories to tell.
I look forward to it.
Well, as I said, he's got good stories to tell too, Josh.
Right up until including when there's going to be a whole group of you saying, when are you going to stop using that Windows-driven, IBM PC
crap? The first time I walked into this guy's office, this is a Midwest company too. The first time I walked into this guy's office, just off the main reception room, there's a climbing wall.
That's right there. Wall, it's
for really? Anybody who needs to blow off. You wanted to blow off some steam. You want climb the wall in the reception area. I've been there when all the programmers came running out of the room, went out in the center courtyard, and started having super soaker fights. And I mean, it's a pretty healthy attitude there.
That's very healthy. It reminds me actually. I had seen an email once that went around, and it's a television show about how Google. If you're working for Google, what their office buildings look like. I mean,
he's listening, by the way,
which is, I think, awesome. As far as the idea, it's you work hard, but at the same time too, you gotta blow off steam. You can't just crunch code and data nonstop and not have it back up on you. And they have they had a room that looked like a spaceship. That was just wicked cool. You could go in, and it's not your traditional four land walls and a table in the middle of the room. And I think that is awesome, that mentality of being able to do business, realizing that people, you got to have fun a little bit while you're working,
Oh, not at our place. You will do work every moment you are here.
Mm-hmm. There will be no smiling, no happiness, no talking, no looking, no reading, unless it's work related.
Yes. Yes, it's and we will block everything from the internet that is entertaining.
You're not allowed to look out the window. You're not allowed to see weather.
No Googling software manuals.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Although I'm wondering what their thoughts are on Facebook and Twitter now, because before we weren't allowed to. Well, let's put it this way: you didn't want to get caught with Twitter up, or you didn't want to get caught with Facebook up on your page. But now the company is on Facebook and Twitter.
Get out of here.
Yeah. So now I say, oh, great. I'll pull it up and say, well, I was just looking for, the company, tweets. And, I don't want to miss anything that the company has to say. I mean,
yeah, I saw your post on Facebook, by the way. It says, I'm a fan of such and such. And like, huh?
Well, yeah, because I want to see what they're going to post. Yeah, I realized that. And I got a lot of people were commenting on that. And it's like, how can you be a fan of the place you were employed at? Well, really? Yeah, I'm a great fan. They give me a paycheck every week.
Absolutely.
I'm the super fan,
Actually, I just heard a story on the news about a week ago or so about someone who got fired because of what they put on their Facebook page about their boss.
Yeah, so you got to be careful. Like I said, with Facebook, I don't put anything on there that I don't want half a billion people to see.
Right.
Exactly.
You're smart about it.
And I get an internal about that because I don't know if it's the same one, but I think it is. But the person in question is an EMT.
Mm-hmm.
So that hit the paramedic EMT circuit because they made a comment about their boss on Facebook, but it had to do with EMS.
Right.
So
it's going to legislation. They say it's going to roll all the way up to the Supreme Court because obviously the person's fighting it. And in the sense that what I put on my page or my wall is my business. It's not on company time.
As long as they didn't violate HIPAA.
Exactly.
And I don't think it had anything to do with that.
Right, and then I guess the argument was, I was listening to terrestrial radio, but there's a few shows out there I like. And
Josh, in his 10-minute commute.
And they were saying that it didn't violate any company policy, that, you know, where it puts the company or slanderous in a bad light, mm-hmm. then how can you turn around and fire this person for a personal feeling comment about somebody else who happens to be, in this instance, it was their boss. And of course, now, common sense dictates, I'm like, you know, you put something on a quote-unquote wall that your friends and their friends and the friends of the friends and the friends, basically a million people can read what you're getting ready to write. You might want to formulate what you're getting ready to type and critique it, because the odds of probability, somebody's going to see it who knows that person, or that person themselves may see it. I don't understand where the disconnect is. You know, just like you said, Barry, don't put anything on here that you wouldn't be afraid, you know, that you wouldn't put it in a way so that you'd be able to tell it to your parents.
Right.
You know what I mean?
After I deleted my original FaceTube account, as we call it, and let everything purge for a while and reopen the new one, I just treat the new one like Twitter now. Yeah. Even though I've got all the privacy settings set to full privacy, I just assume that anything I put in there is just going to wind up in the World Wide Web.
Right. I never put anything there that I don't want the rest of the world to know. Mm-hmm. And that's the way I treat it. And, you know, I'm fine with that. So I noticed here, getting down into some of the other notes that Josh put in here, Obama White House hands out 111 Obamacare waivers to big companies. Really?
Yeah. Yeah, indeed. There's
let me say that correctly. Really?
Really?
I just found that to be an incredibly interesting story when a friend of mine had sent it to me. And along with a link there to check it out, it's a Fox News story. And someone had...
Well, you know what most people will say. Most people that lean to the left there. Oh, Fox. Not the, yeah. Faux news.
Exactly. How dare they actually tell it the way it is. I'm sorry. Yeah. Anyway, that being the case, 111 different companies or organizations that had their lawyers file suit and or present case to the current administration on why they should be exempted from having to participate in the new laws regarding the Obamacare and universal health care, if you will. So rather than penalize them, they're given waivers saying, okay, you can do your own thing. And not to mention the fact that when their presentations, these legal staff were able to present, and go check out the story where they point out, here's why Obamacare doesn't work. Well, here's where it's not going to create jobs, and here's where it's going to cost, you know, exponentially more money than what's being presented to the general public. And that's why we don't want to be part of it. Not to mention they're big enough with contributions and so on and so forth that they can pretty much buy their way out of having to obey the law. Right. I thought that was an interesting story. Check it out. Check out the YouTube the thing, because it really hit a chord.
We'll hit, you know? We'll make sure that the link is in the show notes.
I appreciate
for people
that.
Yeah. There. Yeah, I've heard about the fight that's going on about states basically saying, we don't have to follow this healthcare law. Right. And I think even though, the Supreme Court refused to hear something yet, and people are saying, well, that's kind of an indication that they're going to rule against the states. Yeah. But I think that's just because, well, it's not law yet. So they're not going to hear it until it becomes law. And basically, it comes down to the 10th Amendment. Which basically says, unless it's in the Constitution, state law trumps federal law.
Exactly.
And basically, that's what the 10th Amendment says. So, you know, they can come out with this law, and states can choose not to do it. So it'll be, this is going to be an interesting
fight.
Yeah. Here's where we get to say opt out.
Yep.
Exactly. You know, not to mention, like you said, along with, you mentioned it real brief, Barry J, with next year, where your health insurance, what your company's contribution for your health insurance, whether it be single or family or what have you, is going to be counted against you as far as income, and therefore raising your taxes.
No, that's not. That's just an adjustment. That's not in raising your taxes.
That's just an adjustment.
No, there was a mistake there, and they've adjusted it.
Oh, okay. So,
yeah.
Right. So you
don't
shell
be
out
silly.
$500 a month towards your health insurance, and the company contributes another $8.
Don't be silly.
Oh, jeez. That's just an adjustment. You know, I must have read that wrong. That's what it was. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, I think a lot of people are going to be in for a rude awakening come January when they look at their paychecks.
A real rude awakening come April when you go to get your taxes done and you figure, well, okay, you know, this year or in a, you know, years past, what have you, we've always had a little refund here or there. And all of a sudden they say, okay, either A, you owe more, or B, you broke even. What do you mean I broke even? I've shelled in more paying taxes. Well, all that health insurance now counts as a bill, as a income for you, and therefore you had to pay more.
That won't happen. Yeah, that won't happen until April 2012. Because,
yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
that's,
it won't start until next
year. Yeah, that's right. But that's okay, because the world will end in December anyway, that same year. So it really won't.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Because the Earth's going to tilt off its axis, and we're all going to fall off the ball. Oh, by the way, on your recommendation, I don't want to get off topic too much here, but I followed your lead on that one, and I went to rented and watched 2012. You talked about it with our last show.
Yes, yes. So what did you think about it?
I thought it was a pile of shit.
How did you feel about it,
well,
then,
Yash? But it was entertaining, wasn't it? I mean,
I went into it with an open mind saying, you know, hey, and it really did start off like it was really going to grip you. And it was, I'm like, wow, this is like spot on. This is awesome. And then it started in with the corny theatrics and special effects. And I'm like, oh, man, you guys went down the wrong road here. Because, yeah, okay, neat special effects and fly the airplane over the, you know.
Oh, well, you got to, yeah, you can't, yeah, as I forget who was saying this. It's like, yeah, you can't be your typical nerd going, oh, that's impossible, you know. A plane can't maintain altitude and fly through, a volcano ash and still expect to fly. That's impossible. Meanwhile, the ground is opening up into huge...
cavernous holes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
Below you, just as they're taking off.
We're all engineers here, so I have to say something. When I see a twin turboprop fly through a cloud of volcanic ash, and I'm like, wait a minute, it's gonna suck the ash in there. The engines are dead, and you're falling out of the sky like a brick. And I'm
okay.
Thinking,
come on, push up your taped up birth control glasses up on your bridge of your nose now.
That can't happen. Oh, jeez, this is so fake. Yeah.
All right. I haven't seen it yet. You know what to look forward to now.
Sorry, spoiler.
That's all right.
But yeah,
it's like the day after tomorrow, or whatever the name of that one was.
Oh, I like that movie a lot more than this 2012 one.
Well, I just looked at it for entertainment purposes, and it kept my attention, even though it was filled with scientific impossibilities.
I look forward to the next movie you recommend to go see. With great anticipation.
Come on, it wasn't. I mean, it was entertaining. Okay, the end was kind of slow and pokey. But.
Okay, I'm actually at a point now where I think I'm just going to back down and just say, okay, Barry J. It was for entertainment value. It did have pictures that moved in high def on the screen.
All right. Okay. Sure. Mm-hmm. So what about this new video game?
Oh.
That I've been seeing. Actually, I like the commercials for it.
Oh, my God. I'm waiting tooth and nail, and I'm still waiting because I got to go out and buy my copy from the Walmart or wherever. But a bunch of buddies of mine had gotten it, and it's Call of Duty Black Ops is finally out. And, oh, my God, I'm beside myself with giddy like a little schoolgirl with anticipation. It is totally. I can see me burning days playing this game.
Really,
it's really that good. It's got so. It's so. Well, there again, too, when you say realism, it's got a lot more realism than some of the movies. But
yeah, sometimes now with the commercials for games versus movies, when I'm starting to watch them, I can't tell, is this a movie or is this a video game? Mm-hmm. You know, because the commercials have almost become identical, like trailers.
Right. Oh, I can honestly say I'm somewhat afraid that I may be doing a podcast while playing Xbox.
Well, and I'm not much of a game player, but this one, the commercials look very interesting, but I'm not willing to go out and buy an Xbox 360 just to play a game. Do they make this available for like PCs?
They do, but they're saying it's not running too well on the PC. I have heard that.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
So beware there.
Isn't an Xbox 360 just a glorified PC?
Well, it is a PC, but it's it's exclusive to just running games. So all the if you will, the behind the scenes software that runs on a PC, so to speak, it doesn't have those tasks to worry about, so to speak.
Hmm. Okay.
So it runs smooth, and I'll lend you one of my Xboxes just so you can play it.
Well, because I've heard a lot of people that play games actually like to play on a PC because they have the keyboard and they can do, I don't know, they can do more things than just play with the controller.
Mm-hmm. Well, the games. It's got a lot of hype in it. It's definitely due. This game is, I've seen it, I've played it briefly, and it is, if you're a gamer and you like first-person shooters, it'll definitely meet all the criteria and exceeds it by far for what a good first-person shooter is all about. It's definitely, it holds true to the name with the Call of Duty game, series that's out there.
Yeah, I'm going to, because there's a bunch of guys at work that, I don't know whether they're still doing it, but they used to play Call of Duty, and I think they had their own server.
They're playing online, which is even better because you plug in your headset with your microphone and you can talk to the guys while you're playing.
Right, yeah. So that would be an interesting late night queue. Well, maybe not.
It would be if you're a gamer.
Yeah. Actually, I was spinning around Ustream a little bit. I've been checking other shows out and what they put on there. And there are a lot of video games that people, shows, I guess you want to call them, but they're basically screencasts of the video games, and people sit there and talk about them like there was actually some competition going on, and they were showing the screen, and they had commentators there talking about it.
Absolutely.
I caught myself watching it for a while. I was like, wow, this is like watching a real sports.
It is. I tell you what, I wish... There are times when you sit there and go, man, I wish I learned how to write code and write games, because I'd love to be in that industry.
Yeah, you'd rather be a tester.
Oh, I don't know. That'd be scary.
Well, that game, especially the commercial, really has caught my attention, because it's funny, because it's just people running around looking like they normally do, but they've got these weapons and they're blowing things out of the sky and shooting things up and everything.
It's right. And at the very end of the commercial, what does it say? The logo that splashes across the screen. There's a soldier in everyone.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you see a little old lady who's baking cookies one minute and they, you know, sort of speak in a commercial, and then she grabs, you know, an M4 and blows away the enemy. You know, it's like, this is cool. Anybody and everybody just about could get into playing this game. Hell, I'll bring my Xbox over come Thanksgiving.
No, we'll never do a podcast.
I'm sitting there waiting for the Skype call. Where are these guys?
but speaking of games on playing them on a big TV, when I was taking my car for its $1,041 oil change, I stopped in Best Buy and went around and was looking at the large flat screen TVs that are there, because of course we're in the market for one. And I got to say, after looking at them all, comparison, Samsung just blows them all away.
Samsung.
It really does. And then my oil change required 2 days, so they gave me a loaner car, and I had to come back on Friday to pick up the car. So I had to pick up something at the supermarket, for my wife, Anne Marie, said, "Oh, could you pick this up?" And I said, "Okay." I said, "Oh, Costco, I'll get it there." And of course, the only reason I wanted to get it there was to go look at the large screen TVs that are there. And they had actually two set up. They had a Sony set up that had the 3D their 3D glasses, and I put them on, and I was looking, and I said, "Oh, this is pretty nice," but I did notice kind of a flicker while watching it. Mm-hmm. And then on the other side, they had the Samsung set up and their 3D glasses, and I looked at that, and it was like, "Oh my God, there's no flicker. The 3D was excellent," and it was just, you know, I don't know what Samsung's doing, but they're doing it right. And I now can probably think about ordering the television now that I've seen it, because I also noticed the box sizes in like Costco and Best Buy, and it's like, if I get that 55-inch one that I want to get, it ain't fitting in any of our cars. Mm-hmm. So plus some of the mail order the website ones have better deals.
Right,
so I'm looking. Matter of fact,
they do price match. I believe they do price match. Not to mention, you know, just right. Give a call. I'll bring my truck. That's put it true. In my truck and bring it home.
Yeah, there's a couple sites that are having. Well, right now they're having a deal, and I got to find out when the deal ends, because I was telling Anne Marie, I said, "You may have to pick this up a little earlier than what you're anticipating, because right now the Samsung is having a sale." Well, they, I mean, when I was looking at it originally, it was like $2,500. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, now they have added, you get a Blu-ray DVD player plus the 3D glasses setup package, which mm-hmm. gives you two glasses. And they dropped the price down to 19 something.
Oh.
And I'm like, how long is this deal for?
And let me ask you a question, because I don't know. But yeah. So now you're looking at the 3D TVs as opposed to the LED TV. What's it look like if you don't wear the special 3D glasses, if you were just going to sit down and watch the TV?
The 3D TV is an LED TV.
All right. But
the only reason why they call it a 3D TV is because it's got the 2400... or the 240 hertz
mm-hmm.
Clock on it,
right,
which is twice basically the speed of anything else. And I'm interested in it for that purpose only, because I was comparing 120s versus 240s, and you can see a significant difference in especially action. There's not the slurring and blurring with the 240, and I'm interested in getting it for that particular reason, mostly.
That's a valid, real valid reason.
But if they got the package deal and they're going to give away the 3D glasses with it, yeah, I'll take them. Because DirecTV is already does have a couple of 3D channels up there,
mm-hmm.
and so it'd be worth it. I don't think I'd use the 3D that much, but I'm like I said, I'm mostly getting it because it's 240. And, you know, if I'm planning on, you know, next year, they're probably going to have 480s out, or, right. You know, you never know what's going to go on. So I'm going to get the highest one I can now, considering it's got to last me a few years. You know, it's just the way I buy things.
So the idea behind it being though, so in watching a 3D TV without wearing the glasses, it looks, you know, clear or...
Oh, regular channels. It's super clear. It's like it's got, especially the Samsung, it's got the best picture out there. And like they had Costco in particular had this tape that they were running that showed both, you know, 3D, and they were showing like sports, They were showing action.
Not there for a minute. I can't hear you guys.
Hello?
Hello.
Hey, there? Guys. There we are. Okay. We had a hiccup.
Did somebody drop out? Because I actually had a ringing going on.
I had a ring go, too. And then all of a sudden, this brings up another point, guys. Did you notice there are four participants on this conference?
No, I only have two.
I have three besides myself on mine.
One.
I won't say the nickname of the third one on there, but it's all like halfway through the show, another person showed up.
And, I don't have that. I just have you. And
I'll type that on the show notes and see if you recognize the Skype name, because I don't.
Okay.
I was going to say, yeah, because something happened there and I didn't know. I thought I lost you guys. I thought
Yeah, just quit for a second. I was just about to say, we've got it through a whole two shows now without a Skype problem.
Let's see. Where did you write it?
He's on the show notes above.
That's Barty.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That's
Barty. Where's Barty?
He showed up, but I don't have him live.
Huh.
By the way, David has chided us for doing a show on the night when Mythbusters is on.
Well, you can always listen to the recorded version.
Yeah.
I said at least we're not doing it on Wednesday night when they have the new episodes out, you know?
As I say, there's that little those three little letters, D V R. Record it.
I don't see him popping up. I don't have my See, that's the other thing with this new Skype 5 for the MacBook is I don't know. Somewhere you can pick up who's online and who's not.
Yeah, I haven't been able to navigate this, which is why I'm not chatting on Skype with David now, because I can't find the separate chat window while we're on the conference here. I'm afraid of disconnecting myself.
Right. Interesting. Yeah,
I see. I've got Barty down here, but it says he's not online. Should I try to... Not.
See if you can... Cut it, yeah. See if he'll you can join him in.
Oh, well, I've got the he's got the Bartycast down here. I don't have his other name here. Huh.
Interesting.
Where did it? Oh, geez, I don't know where to. Oh, contacts. Maybe I can look there.
That's probably where I'd look. just shooting from the hip here. Where am I at? A list of people I talk to.
Yeah, let's see. Actually, that's how do you manage contacts? Where is the thing that shows who's actually on? Oh, maybe it's in Windows. Contact monitor. There we go. That's probably what we want.
I can't help you. You guys are always using the fancy Apple Mac version of everything. I mean, it's completely different than the one I have.
Well, this is completely different from the one that Barry and I were used to. This beta thing has just ripped everything up.
Yeah, it's so different. I don't see him. Oh, they're not live. Wait a minute. Let's see. I don't see him live on here.
Okay, I'm just curious as how he showed up in my actual conference list, but he's on. I mean, his name is in there anyhow.
Yeah, that's his other name. That's you know what? When we started talking about gaming, he probably jumped right in. Oh, because he's a big gamer.
You know what? That's awesome because I'll have to get in touch with him and play with him online.
Yeah. So anyway, what was I talking? Oh, TVs. Yeah. So anyway, so it looks like our minds made up with the Samsung. And now I'm looking at the wall hangers for it. And, and then Amory's looking at... case or bookcase or whatever you want to call it for all the other stuff that's right now sits on top of my TV.
Mm-hmm. entertainment center or whatever it is.
Right. But since the TV itself is going to hang on the wall.
An entertainment cabinet.
Yeah, that's entertainment cabinet. And so we can put all that stuff that's currently on top of the TV in there.
Well, heck, like we got something to look forward to. We'll have to try and hang the TV on the wall before we have 27 rum and cokes and a bottle of port.
Well, I don't know whether we'll get it before Thanksgiving, but
well, then Christmas. Then I don't care. I'm easy.
definitely before Christmas, because that's basically our Christmas present to each other, is we're going to get this thing and hopefully be good for Well, you know, I'm a gadget guy, so 5 years from now, I'll probably want to replace it because they'll have the hologram TVs, you know.
Oh, you just put glasses on and they project it straight into your retinas.
Help me, Obi-Wan. You're the only...
You're my only hope.
That'll be coming soon. Let's see. Boy, we've blown through a lot of these things. Black Ops. You know, I'm definitely going to be interested in that. So let's see. I think we're about done through the show notes, and you know we've been on for 94 minutes.
Yeah, you're over 90 minutes here.
So I think we better call it a show.
Interesting. It's a good show. Actually, I'm thinking, you know, how many times have we sat here, zero show notes, and we still come up with 90 minutes worth of stuff?
Well, you guys did all the filling. I got like one show note here. I sent you guys a blank show notes page. And when I came up here to set up, I was like, whoa, you guys have been busy.
I got to ask a question. I know we're 90 minutes into it, but what's this a contact lens from... What?
Oh, yeah, I missed that one. I skipped that one. No, please. Yes, well, tell us about the contacts from hell.
Yeah. Well, see, now that I'm doing the paramedic thing, there are times where glasses really get in the way, especially when you're dealing with an unruly patient. In the last couple of years, a couple of times I've actually had a patient connect and knock the glasses right off my head, which is a bad thing up here since there's only one medic per rig. Now, if you got two or three medics per rig, everybody can get pissed off, but then there's somebody else that can make the calls. So I've been working with the local optometrist. I'm extremely farsighted, so I'm not really a good candidate for this. And the next step, he keeps going to stronger and stronger contact lenses for me. And the next step after this is going to be bifocal contacts, which I'm trying to avoid that.
Yeah, yuck.
But this last version, they've got astigmatism correction, and there's a whole bunch of other things in there that they're the best contacts I've had yet. I can get through a good part of the day without reading glasses, but occasionally I still need to put reading glasses on. Mm-hmm. But again, I'm new to the contact thing. I just started it this summer, and I'm still getting used to putting them in and taking them out. Well, this time I went to go put these contacts in, and they just went ka-chink, ka-chink, like really went in fast. And I'm like, well, that's cool. Until it came time to take them out. Mm-hmm. It took me 35 minutes to get these contacts out. And that's 35 minutes of pinching my fingers into my eye, making contact, and trying to lift the darn things out. My head was so sore.
It's kind of like... The new contacts are kind of like suction cups on your eye.
Yeah, pretty much. And normally, you just, you know, once you get them off the curvature of the eye, they just kind of pop off and you can pull them out. Mm-hmm. These things stuck like glue. And they're a little thicker. They're a little, you know, a little bigger than the other contacts that I'm used to. And now I've got a technique, I think. I know how to get them out. But boy, my kids would walk in the bathroom. Aren't you done with this yet, Dad? No, I'm still trying to get the contacts out. And I had visions of having to call the optometrist in the morning and, you know, take a trip to town, which is an hour drive for me, to get the contacts out.
Now, do you still have to take them out when you sleep, or?
You don't have to, but they recommend that you do. Okay. Especially since I'm new to them. I really should only be wearing them a few hours a day. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we have these neat little things on the rigs. Which are literally little tiny suction cups that go in to pull contacts out of patients' eyes when we need to. Oh. And they don't carry them on the rig up here. I've had them down at Wisconsin when I was doing medic work down there. But I think I'm going to pick up a set of these things myself. Just
it beats needle-nose pliers?
Yeah. At one point, my wife actually said, you know, there's a pair of tweezers sitting right there. I'm like, oh, yeah, right. But yeah, that's a record. I've had to spend 5-10 minutes sometimes to get them out, but 35 minutes.
Wow, jeez.
So that's what that note was about. On that happy note,
yeah. On that happy note, we should probably end this show. And once again, as we always do, we want to say thank you to all our armed forces people that are overseas and. Doing what they're doing, and particularly this past week was Veterans Day. Definitely thank you for your service, and that's all active duty and retired.
Absolutely. Yes, stay safe.
Absolutely.
And so with that, we will go to our musical guest, who this week is... I wrote it down, didn't I?
Oh, yeah. I see. I see. It's show notes.
Actually, she, I you might be hearing from her a few during a few shows because I think I downloaded three of her songs. She's pretty good. Allison Gray. And tonight we're going to hear her song, Be Bad. Okay. We'll see everybody later. Thanks for listening.
See y'all.
Bye.
Samson, speak. Good boy.